Hello.
Hi there, is it possible to speak to Mr. Lewis Duncan?
Speaking.
Hi Lewis, it's Liam Holland from MMA Legal. Is now
How you doing?
Time?
Hi, now's fine.
Perfect. Just to let you know, the call is recorded for training and monitoring purposes.
Yep.
And for data protection, before we start, could you just provide me with your date of birth and your postcode?
It's 2210-1984 and the postcode is DG13 Sierra Foxtrot.
Amazing. So you are aware that we are calling today to complete your witness statement?
Yeah.
I'm sorry I rang a little bit later. I have no excuse. I was just a bit busy. yeah, at least I'm not lying to you. So before we do get fully into it, I just wanted to let you know that you are completely in control of this witness statement.
Yeah.
You can take a break, skip a question, get a drink, ask me to reword anything at any moment. You just say the word and we'll stop.
Okay.
Some questions may be upsetting because they do concern your time and care and its impact. So I want you to take that into account and know that if you do need to stop, you can.
Yep.
I have got a chronology of care that I created. I just want to go through that with you just to double check that everything's in order.
Okay.
So the first placement you were in was Newfield Assessment Centre in Trew.
Yeah, Trun was where I actually lived.
And Newfield
is Johnson, which is near Paisley.
Okay.
I was actually in a care home before that, but I was only in there for about a week before they moved me up there. So.
Yeah, unfortunately that wouldn't qualify.
Yeah, I didn't think so.
I know, disappointingly. And I've got that down as being in 1997.
Yeah, then and 96, you were, 97, yeah,
yeah. And you were there for about a year.
Yep, it was supposed to be a 6-week assessment, and I was in there for a year.
Wow. And then you went into, was it Kibble next?
Yeah, I finished my time in Kibble.
I have a Munro Centre.
Yeah, that's
a
day unit.
Part of Kibble?
Yeah, so I was full care in Kibble to begin with, and then I went to the Munro Centre, which was taxis to my home address, and
okay.
They took me up there every day for school.
But that was still technically in Kibble?
Yeah, still technically, aye. It's still Kibble School that I was schooled at, and
okay.
The Munro Centre is just part of the day release centre.
That makes more sense. And then I've got that you were released from care fully into the care of your stepfather, Mr. Cameron, is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay, no problem. And what was his full name?
It's John David Davidson Cameron.
John?
Davidson Cameron.
If I do go silent at any time after asking a question, it is just because I'm typing everything
up. Yeah,
I don't want you to think that I'm ignoring you.
No, it's all right.
The way I like to conduct these, you know, to make them as easy on you as possible with how rough they can be, is I like to do it a bit like a questionnaire, you know, a question and answer.
Yep, no, that's fine. That works out easier for me.
Yeah, it normally does with many people. So are you comfortable and happy to continue with this today?
Yeah.
Do you need anyone with you, any break right now, or any adjustments?
No, I've got my partner kicking about. I'm actually at home just now, so.
Oh, okay. Well, at least you have someone with you.
Yeah, I'm just sitting outside in the van because apparently my anxiety is going through the roof. So.
Oh, bless you. I'm sorry. I'll try and get through this as quickly as we can, okay?
Yep.
Do you understand the purpose of the witness statement and agree that it can be used for your Scottish redress application?
Yes.
And are you happy for us to use any support and evidence that we've received from your records?
Yep.
Amazing. So I'm now going to ask you a few questions about your personal background and your entry into care. So
yep.
I'm just wanting to know, where did you grow up and who did you live with before care?
Before I went into care, I lived with my mum and her partner, which he was abusive to us, so mentally and verbally.
And can I grab both of their names?
Yep, it's Caroline Duncan.
So, Caroline Duncan
and George Wilson.
George Wilson. And did you live in a house or a flat?
A house.
A house?
Yep.
Okay. What was your home life like before KISS? Any family, health, education, social work difficulties, anything relevant?
Really, kind of only really started in 94, 95 when my mum and my stepdad John split up. I went out of what they call parental control, apparently. And basically, I was just getting beat by my mum's partner, so that resulted in me not going to school and rebelling back, basically.
And what was the home life like? You know, did you have nice home cooked meals? Was it, were you
Oh
clean? Like, yeah.
Oh yeah, there was nothing like that. Like, and I was always well presented, and my family background, we're from the country, so basically it's proper cooked meals and that anyway.
Yeah.
So my mum dealt well with that. My mum just couldn't control us and had her boyfriend basically try to control us. And even though she knew what he was doing to us, she denied it anyway.
Okay.
Until he did it to her, and by that point it was too late.
Did you get along with your mum?
No, I still don't to this day.
Okay. Do you have any siblings?
Yes, I have four, six.
Six. Is that how many brothers and how many sisters?
I've got one full blood brother, and I've got two half blood sisters and two half blood brothers. One sister and two brothers being to my father's side, and the other being to my mother,
Okay.
which were after I was in care of my mum's ones.
Okay. Who decided that you were going into care? You know, whose decision was it?
Basically, my mum had refused to go to school one morning and ended up getting a face full of stitches for my attitude, and the social worker took me out of the house.
Wow. And so you said it, you had stitches in your face.
Yeah, I nearly ended up losing my eye over it, so.
And can I ask who did that to you?
Yeah, my mum.
And can I, I'm sorry to ask, can I ask how that occurred?
Yeah, it was a breakfast bowl with my breakfast in it, flung at my face.
Wow. So you were aware and you were aware of why you were taken into care?
Yeah, they told me it was because I was out of parental control, but it was because I was being abused. They just didn't want to admit to it. Because I'd been to the police several times about it as a kid, and it kept getting basically, I was not believed. That was the moral of the story.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. So your siblings, I know there's one blood brother, so if, that's obviously full brother. Were you separated from him?
Yes, when I got put into care, that separated us because it was only me and him. I never knew about my other brothers and sisters through my dad's side until about 2 years ago.
Okay, so very, very recently.
Yep.
And how old were you when you first entered into the care system?
I'd have been first year, so
About 11-ish,
12,
12,
11,
yeah.
12, aye, thereabouts, aye.
Okay, no problem. And how did you feel at the time?
Yeah, I didn't know. I didn't know any different. So, you know what I mean? I just get parked into a place and left there. So, aye, it was a lot to take on because it was a quiet boy because it was from the countryside. So I didn't know towns or any of this behaviour that goes on this day and age. I didn't know any of that.
Okay, and is there anything important about your childhood health, learning needs, vulnerability, or any history that should be recorded for redress?
I have got learning disabilities as in illiterate. I can't really read or write, so.
Okay. Okay. What I'm going to do now is I'm going to ask you about each individual care setting.
Yep.
So I'm going to start with asking you about Newfield Assessment Centre.
Yeah.
I am going to ask a series of questions, but like I said earlier, if you do ever need to take a break, more than welcome to.
No, I'm quite happy to stick it on with and get it done. It's
been
at me now, so.
I know.
I've managed to block it out for 20 years, but then obviously when I've applied for this, it's kind of brought it back. So.
I know, I'm so sorry. Do you know what? If you want, I'll just whip through this as quick as possible.
Just go through it. It's okay, and I've got most of it in my head anyway.
Amazing.
The last few days kind of working through it.
Okay. So what type of setting was a Newfield Assessment Centre? Was that residential?
Newfield, it's a residential assessment centre. They call it a resource centre, but it's a 24-hour lockdown.
Okay. How long were you there for? You said it was meant to be 6 weeks.
Meant to be 6 to 8 weeks, and I think I was near 12 months before I left there.
Okay. So in a couple of sentences, can you describe to me what the actual accommodation was like? So did you have your own room or did you share?
I had my own room there.
And what was the room like?
Just a... how to explain it? Kind of like a, I wouldn't say a young offender's jail cell, but not far off it.
Bit like a hostel?
But with locked windows and locked doors.
Like,
and when you were in your room, you were locked in.
You were locked in?
Aye, locked in at night and stuff like that.
Okay. Did you have any amenities such as a desk, a dresser, you know, a desk?
I had a bed and a sink in my room and a chest of drawers, if I remember correctly.
Okay. What was the routine like there?
Up at 7, washed, fed, and then transported or escorted to the in-house school.
Okay. What about after school?
Pretty much the same, back to your unit and during lock-in from the minute you walk through the door. Obviously, you've got your seating area, your sitting room and your usual kind of layout, but you're still locked in.
Okay. What was the schooling like? Was it informative or was it kind of just...
Well, it was only 4 days to a class and teachers really didn't give a shit, so... I didn't really learn anything, put it that way.
Yeah. And what about the food? What was the food like?
The food was all right. I can't complain at that. It wasn't far off it.
Fair enough. Clothing, were you provided with clothing if needed?
Not to begin with. They held me for, I think it was 9 weeks before I got to contact my stepdad. They wouldn't let me contact him because of my mum and that and stuff like that. So... it wasn't until more or less the end of my 12 months that I got the clothing grants and stuff, which I should have got when I went in the door.
Wow. What about hygiene? Were there your own? Did you have your own shower? Your own? Or
no, shared bathrooms.
Shared bathrooms.
Yeah, which there was two of to share between 12.
Okay. And did you get provided with toiletries, toothpaste, toothbrush, shower gel?
Yeah, you got your weekly toiletry thing.
Okay. What about contact with family? Was that cut off?
The contact with my family at this place made me contact and spend time with my mum and her abusive partner on a regular basis until I wouldn't let me contact my stepfather, who at the time worked within the social work department, so that's why they wouldn't let me contact him.
Okay. How did the staff and the other children there treat you?
I was lucky because one of the boys that I was actually plunking the school with before I ended up in there was one of the boys I ran about with. So I was kind of lucky I went in there knowing somebody. But it was, to begin with, I didn't know he was there, so it took more or less a day before I knew he was in my unit. So it was quite a scary escapade for a 12-year-old that's getting the idea about this system.
Yeah. What about the staff?
The staff were all right with me, but that's because I was so quiet and stuff. I mean, I never get restrained or anything there.
Okay. Was there any rules or punishments in this?
Yeah, there was. You wouldn't get out on the once a fortnight excursions, like to the swimming pool or the ice rink, you would lose your weekly allowance, stuff like that, if you didn't comply.
Yeah. Okay. Obviously, the isolation, you were locked in. Okay. Did anything happen in this place which you would now constitute as abuse, neglect, or harmful?
There was a bit of bullying from other people that were in there, but not so much staff. As I say, I was quite lucky because I was a quiet boy.
Mm.
I wasn't out robbing grannies or kind of doing stupid stuff like that.
Yeah.
But there was a couple incidences when we were on, like, we'd had a couple of camping excursions where they took us away for like a week, and there was a knife incident with one of the other inmates, we'll call them for the sake of the conversation.
Mm.
Apart from that, no, they kind of kept me out of it. If something was going down, I'd get dragged out of the place and taken somewhere separate, so I wasn't seeing what was going on, because, well, that was obviously going to promote me to be what they were when I wasn't.
But nothing physically happened to yourself?
No, not that I can recall, no.
Okay. No. Did you tell anyone about what was happening there?
Yes, the police were involved in that before I went there, and then my stepdad, who, as I said, worked for the social work at that time anyway, He actually worked in another care home.
Oh, your stepdad worked. He was a social worker.
He worked in another care home. So.
Okay, I'm just gonna pop that down in here. And when you say stepdad was a social worker, are we on about George Wilson?
No, John Cameron. John Cameron. He was my stepdad for 2 years until I still speak to him now. So that just kind of says it all.
Okay. Do you get along with him or?
Oh, yeah, I've only moved out of home a couple of years ago, 5 years ago. I've been back and forward, failed marriage, et cetera, because of all my anxieties.
Yeah, understandable. What was different about Newfield Assessment Centre than anywhere else that you were put into?
The lockdown. Yeah, so it was like a secure unit. It's the only way to explain it. Didn't have fences around it, but you know what I mean? It gets shut down shortly after I left anyway because of the behaviour that was going on in there.
Right, okay. Did you ever feel unsafe?
A couple of times, but that was due to just bullying from other people that were in there with me.
And if you were being bullied, were they helpful?
Only if they seen it.
Okay, but you wouldn't tell the staff?
No, because I'd shut down by that point. I had locked myself in my head and that was it, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, there's psychological reports and that done on me at the same time, and because I'd shut down, there was nothing they could do about it. They couldn't assess me properly and stuff like that because I was refusing to engage.
Okay, so that's all of the questions now for Newfield.
Right.
So I'm going to move on to Kibble.
Yep.
This is the last care institute to ask about because obviously this was the...
This is my last one, yeah.
This was their last one, yeah, but you were there for, was it 2 years?
2.5 years, nearly yeah. 3 years, aye.
Okay.
Something like that.
And Kibble Education Centre, that's obviously what it's the full name.
Yeah.
What type of setting was that?
That was originally a Bostel. And I was the youngest ever. I was the first under 15-year-old to be put in there. It was normally 15 to 16, 17-year-old.
Wow.
So it was. And I was the first. By the time I left, there was people at age 11, 10, 11 in there.
Right. And when you say a Bostel, was it a residential as well?
Yeah, residential, school, the whole lot in one campus.
Okay. And you were there for about 2-ish years.
Yeah, 2.5 years roughly, because it was end of 99 when I left, so just start of 2000.
I actually have that you
think
left
it was October.
In 2000.
It's around about that. 2000, I think
January.
It was October, January, so aye, because they were wanting me to leave in October of 99, but I couldn't. So it was January of 2000, because that's when I moved to Inverness, back to where I was born.
So again, kind of like what I did, what was the accommodation like in Kibble? What was did you have your own room
I shared a double room.
with another male?
Yep, with another male.
And was he older?
Yes, he was nearly 17.
Okay. Can you remember his name? It's okay
What
if
was it?
not.
Oh, I do. Terry, I can't remember his second name, but Terry, he actually, believe it or not, lives not far from where I live now.
Oh, wow.
We've never crossed paths since
Just wait. Now
98,
you've said
roughly.
that, you'll be going to the shop to get some biscuits and he'll be
Aye,
there.
well, because I stay next to near Lockerbie where the plane crash was, so that's where he stays.
Right, okay. Was it a big house? Was it like a
Yeah, there was 10 of us to a wing, and there was two wings, so there was 20, roughly 20 of us in the one unit, and then 20 in the unit that was joined onto it, and then there was about 8 units, so it was like for over 200 days.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a big place. It's been a borstal since 19 or 1860 something.
Jesus.
It's an actual proper boys' borstal. It was boys only. It's not now, but that's what it used to be. It's a unisex now.
Okay. What about the routine there? Was there a routine set in
Same
place?
routine, same routine. Up in the morning, room sorted, laundry done, showered, breakfast, school routine. Back to the unit at lunchtime again, you're escorted everywhere, even though it wasn't a full lockdown unit. I could go out on campus, but we were always escorted everywhere.
Okay. Again, the school work there, what were the
I
classrooms?
had to do school work there because of the violence of the other folk that were in the school, basically. So
Right.
I got taken separate, and I ended up doing a lot of the maintenance. We're the maintenance people of the place, basically. So the qualifications I got were for landscaping and joinery and stuff like that, rather than schoolwork.
Okay. And what was the food like in Kibble?
Again, it was pretty all right. They've got an on-site kitchen facility and that, so the chefs, so it wasn't bad. I would say high-end jail food again.
Yeah. And clothing, were you provided any clothing here?
Yes, I was provided with clothing grants, etc., and days out for shopping, stuff like that.
Could you pick what clothing you wanted, or was it kind of
Oh
just.
yeah, I had
Yeah?
money and it was just you go and get what you want.
Okay. What about hygiene? Were you given toiletries?
Yeah, toiletries. We would go out like actually to a cash and carry
Okay.
and shop for the stuff we wanted. So we had a certain amount of allowance per fortnight for stuff like that.
Okay. And contact with your family, was this allowed?
Yeah, contact with the family was allowed. Not so much my mum, but I was spending a lot of time with my stepdad. Even when I was in care and staying there at nights, I was still getting excursions in the evening with my stepdad, who would come and get me, take me out for a couple of hours. Again, just to break up so that I wasn't involved in
Yeah.
the major things that were going on with the violent boys that were in there.
Okay. So, how did the staff and the other children treat you while here?
Again, me being the youngest at the time, it was actually quite good for me because everybody knew that I was way younger than them, so I kind of got taken under the wing, shall we say, slightly.
Okay. Were there any rules?
Yes, there's all these places where you have to be at lunchtime. Same kind of rules applied as Newfield, really, when you look at it.
And what about punishments?
Punishment, same again. You would lose your finances.
Okay.
Or you wouldn't get to go on the outings and stuff like that, or you wouldn't be allowed to go home at the weekend if you had misbehaved. So
Right.
basically, stuff like that. It's the same in Newfield. It was the same behaviour right through.
And was there any isolation in this?
Yes, you would be isolated if you were getting restrained or you were a menace in the classrooms or whatever.
Okay.
Anytime there was an incident, you were isolated. But because I wasn't really causing incidences, I still get isolated to keep me away from the incidences that were happening.
Okay. How did that make you feel?
A bit shit because you're stuck in a room, you're locked in a room for could be half an hour, it could be an hour, it could be half a day.
And when you say locked in a room, was it a specific room?
Yeah, those specific areas where they would put you for time out or isolation.
And did they have a name
Again,
for these rooms?
I can't remember off the top of my head.
That's okay. What was in these rooms?
Nothing, just a sofa, like what you'd get in a waiting room, kind of wooden kind of fabric-y, stick together units you'd get in a waiting room. Something like that.
And were you given food or water while you were locked in?
Yeah, we were always checked on, like, you know what I mean? Could be left for
Yeah.
half an hour and then checked on, but if it was lunchtime or that, you would be taken out of that isolation.
Okay, so they would take
And
you out
taken,
to. Okay.
or bring me stuff, you know what I mean?
Yeah, okay. Was there anything that happened there that you would now consider to be abuse, neglect, or harmful, such as sexual, physical, emotional, or neglect?
A bit of neglect from time to time. If there was like an incident happening or that, then that gave other people that were living there the option to they got away with a lot more because eyes are on everything else that's going on. So that's when you would find the bullying went down and stuff. I mean, I can remember two or three of the incidences. One, I get beat black and blue by a boxer, and I mean black and blue. And the staff basically stood there and watched for a good 2 or 3 minutes before they intervened.
So you said it was by someone who was a boxer.
Yeah, but he was a fucking he was in there with me, but aye, that's what he did. That was his
Right.
trade.
And you said the staff just stood and watched for a couple of minutes.
Yeah, kind of like, what do we do here? Kind of, you know,
Did
like
they
you're not
eventually
getting.
intervene?
Yeah, they intervened eventually, and we get split up, like, but.
Did you get medical help?
Yes, and the police were involved as well, if I remember correctly.
Okay. And you said there was a couple of incidents. Can you remember any
Yeah,
more?
I get restrained once out of my whole time in Kibble. Only one restrainment, and that was I was black and blue and covered in carpet burns all down my face and that.
Okay. And what was that for?
For trying to escape the school.
You tried to run away.
Basically, yeah.
And why did you try and run away?
Just to get out of the school. There was no actual reason for it. Then we were sick of just being escorted everywhere and
Just for freedom.
basically, yeah.
And what happened after that? Can you remember, were you
You're
cared for after?
basically once your restraint's over and you've calmed down and they've got off you. Yeah, basically, because there could be five of them on top of you while you're lying on the floor, kicking and screaming.
Someone lies on top of you.
About five of them.
Five of them.
They'll throw you to the floor. That'll be a concrete floor you hit too, with a cord carpet, so you end up burnt. And the more you try to resist it, the more it'll pile on you.
And what happens immediately after you calm down?
Yeah, basically they'll bring in one of the staff members that you get on with, and they'll try and speak to you, and give you cigarettes, and basically try and smooth over it.
So it's just kind of ignored.
Basically, yeah. And then you get your punishment as well on top of that, if it be losing your rights to go out that week or losing your money for the week.
And what was yours?
I lost both my money and my outing.
Okay.
I was just unfortunate because that week, that was outing week, so I lost both of them. And I think I lost a day from going home at the weekend as well, if I remember correctly.
Right. Can you remember any names of the staff involved?
No.
No, that's okay. And you said that was just one time.
Yeah, it was just the once that happened to me. I learned a lesson after that.
Bless you. I'm sure you did.
Thank you. Yeah, I didn't like that. That wasn't much fun.
Yeah. And what was the immediate effect after that experience? You know, was there any fear, shame, sleeping problems, bedwetting, behaviour changes?
I had a lot of sleeping problems through the whole time I was in there. So, but no bedwetting or anything like that, man. I was just made sure that I never get put in that situation again. It was basically the bottom line.
So kind of the fear of it happening again?
Yeah, I kind of just shut down to it all. So again, it's just like, if you shut down, in my book, if I shut down to it, then I don't get involved in it. If that makes sense.
No, it does, yeah. Did anyone witness that happening? Any other children?
Yeah, because it happened in the Monroe Centre, which had 24 people or 24 other kids in there.
Right.
Yeah, because it's like normal fire doors with a glass in them. The room they take you for restraints.
Right.
And
okay.
So basically it's accessible from the day room, so the other kids can basically look in the window and goad you whilst you're getting restrained.
And when you get restrained, do you get restrained? Is it just with the hands or is it with anything? Do they use something?
No, just hands,
just
and body weight and
body weight.
Elbows, pressure points, stuff like that.
Right, okay.
So I've had the pressure points at the back of my ears done. I've had below your Adam's apple where your ribcage comes. I've had my fingers, they used to call it the hamster. And that's where they'll pretty much disable you with that.
Is that what they called it in the...
That's what one of the guys called it. I can't remember his name, but that was his forte, shall we say.
Right, that was his go-to.
Yep, get you in there, because it just disabled you straight away. And you couldn't breathe all that, because they hit you that hard, the two fingers in there.
How did that make you feel?
To be honest, back then, it never really fazed me. I used to just shake stuff off, because that's how I dealt with stuff.
Yeah.
But it was after. It was 2000 onwards where it all affected me.
And how did that, like, when you think about that incident, I know it's horrible, but how does it make you feel?
Well, I've self-harmed through it, sliced my arms to bits. I'm what they call a high-functioning alcoholic, so I'm signed off indefinitely. But I still work because I can't stay at home all the time. Mm. If I stay at home all the time, I just drink every day, all day.
Okay.
So, you know what I mean? I'm allowed to go out and work a certain amount of time per week.
And did you tell anyone about being restrained?
Yeah, my stepdad knew about it all. There was a lot more that went on because my mum made a big stink about it as well, because she wanted me back living with her and I didn't want to live with her.
Mm.
So, and she was at the time worth about 5.5 million, and she tried to sue the school and the social work and all the rest.
Right.
So there was a lot going on. So that explains why Ken, they would extract me away from the situation.
Yeah.
Because they were scared of what would happen to them if anything happened to me.
And what was your stepdad's response when you told him what had happened?
Basically, well, he'd done a lot of restraints in the children's home that he was in, because it was a school. And basically fucking, well, you act a cunt, you get treated like one, was his words.
Right.
The way he seen it was, I had to have done something to have been restrained.
Okay. What was different about Kibble than Newfield?
A bit more freedom, and the fact that I get the older members of the actual school and stuff, kind of, I was like, how to explain it, because everybody was so bad that was in there. You're talking people, a 10-year-old, 11-year-old that are knifing folk and stuff, and then you get me with no criminal convictions for a couple of silly things like shoplifting and stuff like that.
Mm.
So I get kind of taken away from the schooling side of things, but to what my uses were better at, which was helping the maintenance staff and the people like that. And they're not carers, they're employed as maintenance for the school, if you get what I mean.
Yeah.
So that's been my last year and a half, well, year and a half in there. I didn't see any of the school at all, unless I was in fixing something that somebody had broke.
Yeah. Okay. So that's all of the care placements. I'm now going to move on to kind of the next questions are going to be about all of the care placements in total.
Yep.
Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm fine.
Are you sure?
Yep, okay. I am just sitting here having my fag and not sitting in the motor. So.
Fair enough. Across all of the placements, who were the main people responsible?
I suppose my mum and her partner.
Okay.
Yeah, because that's what started it all, because that's what started me rebelling going to school in the first place.
And did you witness anyone else receiving any kinds of abuse?
Yeah, I witnessed plenty of people getting restrained and flung about the restrainment rooms and just died. There was lots of stuff like that, fights.
Yeah.
And yeah, lots of bits and pieces.
Why do you believe that the council or the social work department should have known what was happening in these places?
Because they had been told enough. I mean, everybody around about me was telling them. If it wasn't for my stepdad, things would have went a lot worse for me than they did.
Yeah. Were any complaints discouraged, ignored or punished?
Yes, a lot of the complaints I made were basically brushed under the carpet, and that didn't happen. Or not, because like some of mum's partner, he's got an SIA badge and worked to high security and stuff. So basically every time I try to say something that he'd done, and him and my mum basically backed each other up. So I was just, you know what I mean? I'm a wee brother, my blood brother, he was too young to kind of understand what was going on.
Yeah. Were you ever moved, threatened or disbelieved because of any complaints?
Yes.
Can you tell me more about that?
I was removed from my house before. I ended up in care several times, taken and held in police custody, and then released back into the care of my mum and her partner after they had basically said that, well, if that didn't happen, then he's talking shit, basically.
And why were you put into this police custody? Was this because you were saying what was happening?
Because I was getting abused at home, mate.
Okay. The question is, have you ever reported the abuse to police, an inquiry, a professional or authority? I know you said police.
Yep. Aye, plenty of times. And the social work knew as well. And it just wasn't taken seriously. That's the whole thing about it.
Yeah. So when you moved from Newfield to Kibble, why were you moved there?
Because it was an assessment centre and they're not supposed to hold you for the length of time they held me. They're only supposed to be in there for 8 weeks for an assessment to see where your best judge to go.
Wow.
But at that point, whilst they're assessing me, they're trying to put me into one of the worst places. So Kibble was like a holiday camp compared to where they were trying to put me. Again, if it wasn't for my stepdad, I would have ended up where they were trying to put me, which would have put me as a roommate with one of the bulger couples.
Right. And were the reasons explained to you when you were moved?
No. It was just pack your stuff, you're getting moved.
Were you given any warning, like, oh, in a few days' time, or was it just on
the day? It was pretty much on the day you're going to be moving. There was a couple of children's panels and that had been talked about, so I kind of knew it was going to come, but I didn't know when it was going to come. And
yeah, it was just kind of sprung on you.
Yep.
I know you said you attempted to run away. Did you ever manage to?
Well, yes, I ran away numerous times, so like an hour at Kibble during the day, but that was just to be quite honest, so if I go and smoke weed. But Newfield, when I ran away, I was away for 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
Where they jumped trains to get to where we were gone, and then slept rough until we were caught, basically.
Okay. And in Kibble, you said it was just an hour or so.
Yeah, just nip out during the day, just leave the grounds, but that was enough, you know what I mean? And you end up getting brought back by the police or walking back in yourself. I have been tackled to the ground a couple of times in the football pitches at the back of Kibble trying to escape during the day. So I wouldn't class that as restraint, but it's still pretty much, I guess, classed as restraint.
Yeah. And you said that was in the backfield, was it?
Yeah, that was basically, if we're trying to run away, they're running at us to stop us. So
yeah.
the only way you're stopping you is by putting you on the ground.
Were you ever punished for, you know, like when you say Newfield, you ran away for punishment?
Yeah, I lost out in two weekends, I lost for that.
Right.
Which was Friday to the Sunday at home. So, hi.
Yeah. What age did you leave care?
I was 16.
Okay. And what were the circumstances after care?
Well, basically, they tried to reassociate me into the community, but because I was moving, because I moved back up to where I was born, because that's what I wanted to do, and my stepdad basically followed my wishes, what I wanted to do. So, but I basically just get put out the door, dropped off at my house in Inverness, and see you later. There was no aftercare kind of help, if you know what I mean.
Okay. So I'm now going to ask you some questions about the impact of the whole experience.
Yep.
And these can be quite difficult. So if you do want me to, if you want to skip a question, we can.
No, it's all right. I'm pretty happy to just go on, mate.
Yeah, I mean, we literally are so close to finishing now. We might as well just speed run it if
you
want.
Yeah, no, it's fine. I'd prepared myself a day anyway, so I'm all good.
Yeah. How did the experience affect you at the time? So how did it affect your safety, your trust, your confidence, your sleep, behaviour, education, relationships, or your ability to speak up?
There's a serious abandonment issues. I wouldn't go into the first time I stepped into a Tesco's or kind of went shopping or anything like that. I'd have been 20 from 16. People just scared me. I couldn't bring myself to get into these places. That's why I chose to move back to Inverness, because it was in a farm in the middle of nowhere, so that I had there was no interaction with anybody.
Yeah.
There was no, you know what I mean.
Okay. And how about your sleep?
Well, sleep is kind of one of the ones that's been on and off. Like to begin with, I didn't really sleep at all.
Okay.
And then basically I started taking drink and drugs and that to kind of block it all out. And 26 years down the line, here we are.
Yeah. Has it affected your mental health? So anything such as anxiety, depression?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, do you want to tell me about
that? I've been, as I say, I'm pretty much medically signed off. I've been for the last 5 years now. Tried to seek help for it in my mid-20s, and basically the NHS and that said there was nothing they could do for me, that basically I was just suck it up and get on with it.
Okay.
Because I could get up and go to work, but at that point I was drinking an awful lot, a drink a day, and then doing my job, which is a dangerous job as it is, so... They just classed me as a high-functioning alcoholic. They couldn't help because I could get up in the morning and I could go to work. And I could do my day at work and then go home, sleep for 2 hours and then continue the process.
And have you ever been diagnosed with any anxiety, depression, PTSD, flashbacks?
Yes, I've got PTSD. There's a lot of stuff on my doctor's records that have been... I was on medication for a long time. Try to take my life from my medication because there's been multiple incidences. So so there has.
Do you experience nightmares?
Yes.
Flashbacks?
Yep.
Any depression?
Yeah, that's why I'm signed off.
Is that diagnosed?
Yes.
Yeah, any anxiety diagnosed?
Well, it's under my depression, because I'm anxious. So.
Both. Yeah. I know you said that you did turn to drinking and drugs.
I've been a high-functioning alcoholic for the best part of 23 years.
Okay.
Still to this day.
bless you. I know it sounds like a bit of a judgmental question, but it's not meant to. But what is your drink of choice?
Buckfast.
Buckfast.
Yep. Aye. By the crate. So I'll do 6 bottles a day easy. So if I get up at 5 in the morning to go to work, I'll not get in until 9 at night, and I'll be an easy 6 bottles in by that point.
Yeah.
Oh, I come out the tree from my work, because I'm a tree climber for trade. I'm a tree surgeon. So
right,
I'll come out the tree at 10 to 10 in the morning so that I can go to the shop.
Okay. And what drugs did you turn to?
Recreational, so just coke and eckies and that kind of stuff.
Okay.
Nothing hardcore, just the usual street shit.
Do you still do any drugs?
No, I smoke a bit of weed, but Karen, if I'm out with the boys or that, there'll be a few lines. But apart from that, no, it's just drink, because I've weeded after trying to get the help. I've spent the last 5 years.
Yeah.
I've done it all myself, basically.
Yeah.
Because I couldn't get the help, because they said that basically they didn't recognise it, because I can work and I can. So that was why I went to the doctors and stuff and get medically signed off.
Jesus. How has it affected any relationships?
Well, I can't really. Again, I've got a good partner now that I've been with for 6 years, but everything up until that was always violent and volatile due to my drinking drugs and stuff like that.
Okay.
I mean, I lost I had a marriage, fucking kids, I've lost my kids, my wife, my business, which was a good going business. I lost a lot through it, so.
And how has it affected your intimacy?
That's a hard one. So,
I know, if you don't feel comfortable,
basically, there's not, that's what I'm saying, I've got a good partner, but she kind of gets not an awful lot from me because of it.
Okay. And is that in a sense of, you can't think about it, or that you're just not bothered, like
just no interest in it, I'd rather go and get pissed and forget everything.
Okay.
I mean, lost my driving and everything for it, so basically now I've started rebuilding my business, and my partner works on me and she does all my driving, because I can't go a day without getting pissed, basically.
What about friendships? How has it affected any friendships?
I speak to about 3 folk. I used to have hundreds of friends, man, and I just no time for them, no interest.
Okay.
I've got two or three people. One of which is my really close friend. He's actually gone through this just now as well. So.
Okay. So you can kind of relate a little bit.
Yeah, we both speak about this, so I know what I mean.
Do you find that helps?
It does. It helps both of us, because we've had it for so many years.
Yeah.
I mean, we both knew, because we both worked together. The guy, I'm basically a tree surgeon because of this boy.
Mm.
And we both knew we were in care and all the rest, but we never discussed it. It was never, this happened or that happened. But recently, since we both applied for this, because he applied for it because I helped him, but basically it was stupid not to. So now we have 2-3 other conversations about this.
What's that friend's name?
Lee Green.
Okay. And, I mean, I know it sounds like a horrible way to say it, but I'm glad that you have someone you can kind of relate with as well.
I think it's
the relatability that helps, isn't it?
Yeah, well, that and the fact that I've got my partner as well. And
yes.
The only reason why it works is because before we got together, I was just like, well, this is what you're getting, and that's, you know what I mean?
Yeah. What's your partner's name?
Barbara.
Pardon?
Barbara.
Okay. What about your trust? Has it affected trust?
I don't trust anybody.
Fair enough.
Not even family, you know what I mean? I can't bear myself if kind of somebody says something, and I'll just be like, aye, right, okay.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I just don't trust or believe anything that anybody says.
Yeah. What about isolation? Do you ever find that you're isolating yourself, or?
Yeah, I isolate myself. If I'm not out working, I'm at home, and if I'm at home, 90% of the time I'll be in my bedroom.
Okay. How has it affected work?
I couldn't. I had to shut down my business and stuff because it was getting too much. The stress, the hours, employing staff and all that, it took its head, and I took quite a bad breakdown around about 6 years ago, and that was it. I lost pretty much a lot through that breakdown.
Okay. What about your confidence?
Not got very much confidence at all. When I'm at home and I'm doing my job or that's different, but in public, no, I've got no confidence. I'm always watching, thinking, what's he looking at? Or,
yeah.
You know, I mean, that's why I didn't go into Tesco's and stuff until I was in my 20s. My stepdad did everything for me. I just stayed at home, played with my guns and my quads, and that was it, you know what I mean?
Yeah. What about your finances?
Yeah. Well, I basically spend everything I make, so...
Okay. What about your day-to-day stability?
My partner kind of prompts me on stuff like that. So it could be eating, because I have a bad habit of not eating. But that's because I'm drinking all the time.
Yeah.
So she'll prompt me to do stuff like that, or if I've got appointments to go to or stuff, I have her deal with everything like that. So that they, same with my jobs, my first. I have my partner deal with.
Yeah.
So, you know what I mean? It's affected everything all around when it comes to stuff like that.
Okay. Are there any triggers, places, smells, authority figures, institutions, or any situations that you would avoid?
Yep, police.
Police? Is that a big trigger for you?
Because they come for me, they come like mob-handed. So, like the last time, there was 12 of them. And I'm not a violent person, you know what I mean? I've never assaulted a police officer or anything like that in my life.
Yeah.
But because of the domestics and the stuff relating to my mental health, they come mob-handed. And they storm through the door and try and throw us about my sitting room, and then it all calms down 5 minutes later and they're all right once they realise that I'm not a threat. You know what I mean? I'm made out to be.
What about any places?
I don't really like hospitals too much, but again, that's because I've been in there for injuries that I've received from my mum and stuff like that.
Okay.
Yeah, just any built-up area where there's lots of people, I tend to stay away from. Because it just gets my anxiety through the roof, and I can't handle it.
Okay.
I'd be all fine and dandy if it was just anxiety, but I kind of say that. I'll be sweat a lot and that, and you can see it. It'll start dripping off my forehead if I'm nervous and anxious.
Yeah.
And then I don't like meeting new people. Mm. That's another big one. Hence, my partner deals with all my care stuff, fuck stuff.
Okay. Yeah. In a couple of brief sentences, or even just words, what impact has it had on your life overall?
It's probably screwed my life. No education didn't help.
Did you get any GCSEs?
No, I was that was the year of the fuck up. So I got standard grades, but I didn't sit any. And they were all bare minimums because of there was the standard grade or whatever you want to call it, but there was that mess up with back in 99, thereabouts. So I did get, but they're bare minimum and they're no worth the paper they're printed on.
Okay. And What do you think might have been different if none of this had happened?
I'd had a proper career. I've got a proper career, but it's a hard career that I've got. I wouldn't have been able to work in an office. I wouldn't have been able to take 50 grand, 60 grand home a year.
Yeah.
With no education, you know what I mean?
But if what I'm saying is, you know, if you, none of it with your mum and her partner, you were never in care, you were just, you know, if none of it had happened.
That's a question I can't answer because I don't know.
what do you reckon it would have been? Life would have been like if none of that happened.
It would have been a lot better. Because let's face it, like, you know, my wee brother and stuff, man. We're no sick people. You know what I mean? He's heavily qualified and a good standing job and all the rest. But he lived in the same household as me. Just he complied, I didn't. So technically, I would have been. I had a half decent job, probably a bought house, et cetera, by now.
Hmm.
Instead, I'm renting, you know.
Okay. Have you received any counselling, therapy, mental health, addiction, GP, hospital, or any other professional support?
Yes, over multiple years for multiple things.
Okay.
From my drug overdosing and try to take my life to my drinking and my mental health and assess if I had PTSD or not, which I do.
Mm-hmm. Was that your GP?
I've been to GP, I've been to NHS, different people at the NHS, like counsellors. I had a counsellor on my probation that I had for 4 years, and that was all to do with mental health, etc., etc.
Okay. And obviously the question is, have you ever been diagnosed with any relevant mental health conditions? So I know you said PTSD.
Yep. And
depression.
My anxiety and depression and my alcoholism.
Have you received any medication for any of this?
Yes.
Can you tell me any of the names?
Not off the top of my head, no.
That's okay.
Last lot of medication I got was to do with my liver because of the drinking. But I've received no medication to get me off alcohol or anything like that. I'd had to do all that myself, which I did through my doctor. Instead of going to the NHS, because they basically told me that they couldn't do nothing for me.
Are you still to this day drinking?
Yeah. Oh, I'm drinking just now.
Don't tell me that.
Well, that's how I had to keep myself level this morning, you know what I mean?
Fair enough. You got to do what you got to do.
Well, that's how I can sit here and talk about it, and I just kind of laugh it off, you know what I mean? I'll come back and hit me later on, though.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's all right. It's part of life, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Are you receiving any support now?
I haven't been to see my doctor in about 6 months, so I would say no.
Okay. And is that a choice that you haven't gone to see a doctor? Like, is that you saying you don't?
Yeah, because I'm still drinking.
Pardon?
He'll give me a hard time because I'm still drinking.
Okay.
And I've seen the NHS 24/7 for an assessment about a year ago for a mental health assessment because they were trying to, the pole was kind of lifted me and that was basically that or the cells, so.
Okay. Is there anyone that you would like to do a supporting statement for you, such as a sibling, a partner, a relative?
No, I'm just going to leave it with myself.
That's absolutely fine.
I'm not going to involve my stepdad in it.
Okay, you don't have to. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, no, that's fine.
Okay. I am going to ask, you know, your how you said you had attempted suicide before?
Yep.
On
several occasions. One was trying to hang myself. Three times with overdoses. And I sliced my arm up pretty bad on the last occasion.
And
when I say my arm, I mean my wrist.
Okay. Okay. Have you previously made any civil claim, criminal injuries claim, redress application, or anything about this abuse?
Nope.
Okay. And have you ever received any payment, apology, settlement, or decision, or have you signed any waiver?
Nope.
No? Okay. I'm coming up to the last couple of questions, okay?
That's
so not
right.
too long
I'm
now.
I'm in no rush.
Why are you applying to the Scottish Redress Scheme, and what would you like to come from telling your story?
Because, one, I should never have been in there. That's the bottom line. But, I mean, two, I was kind of prompted by several other people that I know that have applied for it for similar reasons.
Okay. What do you want to come from this telling your story, you know, like what would you like the outcome to be?
Well, I'd like to see that can other people actually get the help when they get released, for example, instead of just getting parked out the door and you're on your way.
Yeah.
Because I know now that they get grants for houses and all the rest of it. We didn't get any of that. We just get fired out the door because it was back then, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's mainly just to kind of open their eyes and realise that the way they've been operating the systems, that's clearly not worked. And there is better ways, obviously, to deal with things.
Yeah. Okay. What would acknowledgement mean to you? So what would the Scottish Government acknowledging what happened to you mean to you?
Well, it means I could put it to bed once and for all. And start to maybe try and move on a bit with my life, you know. Instead of always having to look back to it or kind of try to block it.
Yeah.
So it make me feel better.
Instead of blocking it out.
Yeah.
Okay. Is there anything else that you want redress to know what happened, like to understand about what happened?
No, I don't think so. I just think the system could have been, it could have worked better. It could be, they put people in these places, man, and they don't need to be in these places. That's the bottom line. And
yeah.
the people that were involved on my stepdad's side, like, so my social worker, her boss was one of my dad's pals. So, a lot of the stuff kind of get brushed under the carpet, and it was pretty much made clear that I was not to be involved or to interact or see things that had happened and stuff. And really, that's wrong.
Yeah.
The way I see it is that they shouldn't be. I agree, folks sometimes need to be restrained and stuff, but there has to be a fine line between you swearing at a staff member and telling them to fuck off to you getting put in a deck, you know?
Yeah.
If you're violent to them, then fair play, but I just believe that the system and the way it was run, it's their word against ours. It's like any sort of institute, really.
Yeah.
So, and things could be run better. That's basically the bottom line for me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I do.
And having that help when you get released, well, that's make or break. It's taken me years to realise that, but me not having that help has put me in the situation I'm in today.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. Is there anything important that we have not covered today?
No, I think we've covered everything to the pretty much how I thought it was going to be. So.
Okay. And how are you feeling right now after discussing everything?
A bit anxious, but I'll go in and I'll speak to my partner and then I'll get loaded up and I'll clear off out and do a couple of hours work somewhere just to occupy my mind, because if I keep myself busy, then it's not going to hit me so hard.
Yeah. I'm sorry you feel anxious. I always hate this part.
It's the way it is, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Sure, but it's one of the things I'll go and put myself into work for the next couple of hours just to... Even if it's going up to my yard and just working in there. But
yeah.
Just because otherwise I'll go in and I'll start thinking over and thinking over and thinking over, and it'll end up, as my partner said, she could see this morning when I got up.
Yeah.
That I was anxious. So.
I do the same thing to occupy my mind, but I do paint by numbers.
All right, no, I go on tour train cars, is it?
I go out of the lines. I'm not saying I'm great at it, you know.
Yeah,
Looks like a
no.
2-year-old's done it, but I try.
I'll go and throw chainsaws about, or I'll use one of my bits of machinery or whatever. Just try take my anger out in something that's can.
Yeah.
If I break it, I break it. The moral of the story.
Oh, fair enough. I can't really argue with that, can I?
No, it's one of the ones. You know, it's always been the thing I've went back to. It's one of the things that's in my blood. This forestry and tree surgery, because my real father, that's what he was. So, and most of my family are.
Did he have no contact with your first father growing up?
He passed away last year in a motorcycle accident.
Oh, I'm so sorry to hear that.
I've actually been going through a Digby and Brown case for them just now.
Yeah.
Because obviously, you know what I mean? But I've just been awarded from them, so I'm quite happy today at that front. I'd only just started speaking to my dad on 2018.
Okay.
So, and he stays 400 miles away from me, so we hardly seen each other, but we spoke regularly.
Okay. Is there someone you can contact for support?
Yeah, I've got my partner here. I can phone my stepdad if I needed to. But my partner and my in-laws, they all know the story, so I can speak to them.
Okay, that's good. I'm now going to really quickly just explain the next steps to you.
Yep.
So I'm going to go away and neaten up this statement into a fully written statement.
Yep.
It'll then be emailed over to you to sign, just to say that
you're
happy with it. It'll come with a cover letter. It'll have your statement in.
Right.
It'll have a little document for you about what happens next.
Right,
and it will come with a payment authority letter, which just means you sign it just to say that you're happy for the funds to come to us. We would take our cut and then pay you the rest.
Yeah. No, that's fine.
Okay. You'll also have to do something called an identification verification call. It's a really quick, literally 20-second WhatsApp call with our head solicitor and my manager.
Right.
Who you will just hold your ID up next to your face.
That'll just be a birth certificate because I don't actually have ID because I have a driving license or that anymore.
that's fine. You just hold that up. They'll say, yep, and then that's it done.
Right, okay.
Okay, so that is the next step. So are you fully understanding of them?
Yep.
Perfect. Well, that is everything for today.
Okay, dokie.
It can take a little while to get it all sent over to you.
I'm in no rush. I just like to see it kind of happen and it be done.
We are hoping to get a payout for you by before Christmas.
Right, okay.
Hopefully.
Right.
But yes, that's all finished. Have you got anything else you'd like to discuss while we're on the phone, or are you happy
with
how that went?
I think everything's went all right. It's what I expected it was going to be. So I preempted what was going to be coming, so I've kind of managed to get myself into a state of affairs where it's not going to affect me too much.
Okay.
If you need
anything else in the future, you can always ring through. That's what we're here for, okay?
Yeah, it's the same number you use.
Yes, yeah. Okay.
I don't answer it.
I got lucky that you answered then.
Cancel this, because I just literally put this on them, so
right,
because normally I don't hear it, you know what I mean? So, that's fine.
Okay, well, thank you very much for today and for trusting me with your story. Okay, all right, you take care,
right.
Duncan.
Right, cheers now,
thank you, bye.
Right, bye.